Morning. Good morning. I love that song. That song made me cry. For some reason, every time I speak, I get emotional. But I asked them to play that song for us. My name is Joe Serrano. I am a deacon here at Stephenville Chapel, a servant of the Lord, and a lay person in the church here at Stutz. We welcome all of you here this morning that are present, not only in the body here, but also online. Welcome. I was asked to speak a couple of weeks ago, actually a month ago, and I wasn't sure what I was going to share. And throughout the weeks, it came to me after prayer. And I named this talk, Jesus Christ, My Living Hope. I want to recap a little bit about the last few weeks, different speakers, different guests sharing the pulpit here. Dr. Steve Talion shared with us the miracles of science. But you know what? Basically, he made it clear the miracles of science are because those scientists are infused with the Holy Spirit and given the knowledge to create different things that help humanity. So that's what I got from his message, and I wanted to talk about that. Then we had Pastor Eric Mabbitt, who talked about sin. Talked about the remedy of sin, that we come to sin in different ways. But the Lord, our Lord, our God, receives us in any way we come. How, you know, He welcomes us no matter what. We don't have to prepare. He welcomes us, and He will take those filthy clothes and clean us and put new clothes on us. Then our elder Keith Newberry spoke about sin and how God gave us His mediator, Jesus Christ, to save us. So that's a little bit of a recap of what we've been hearing, the messages we different guests have been sharing with us here on the pulpit. But today, I want to talk about a little bit about sin, the struggles. Struggles is part of life that not everything is peace and joy as God promises. Pain and suffering is introduced in Genesis 3 at the beginning, where, as is known as the fall of men, after Adam and Eve disobeyed God, they were separated from the Garden of Eden, and physically, they had hardships, and hardships were promised by God at that time. We find that in Genesis 3:16 through 19. In verse 16, it focuses on the consequences of woman pain, multiplying the pain of childbearing. And in Genesis 17 through 18, focuses on the consequences of men, is stating that the ground is cursed. And he would have to endure painful toil, sweat, and eat from it. And the earth would produce thorns and thistle. Men, we are responsible for the consequences of sin. Adam and Eve were there. In Genesis 19, declares physical mortality, stating that mankind was made from dust, and to dust they will return, establishing physical death. But in Genesis 3:15, I'm going backwards here. This passage traditionally is viewed as the first biblical prophecy of salvation. It refers us to the future Redeemer who would defeat the serpent responsible for tempting humanity into sin. This was spoken by God to the serpent in the Garden of Eden. I didn't have time to put references, scripture reading up on the board because I was working on this message till yesterday. But the passage, if you want to take notes, Romans 8:18. It says, I consider that our present suffering are not worth comparing with the glory that will reveal in us. It was written by Paul to the Jews and the Gentiles to understand that the depth of Jesus' life, his death and resurrection. Paul declares that we live in a broken world. By following Jesus does not mean that we will not struggle, suffer pain, but gives us hope that the present pain or struggles are temporary. But because of the glory that is ahead of us. The struggles could be referred to what we endure for being believers and followers of Jesus Christ. Nothing is comparing with the glory, like I said earlier, that is ahead of us, that is greater. I lost my page here. Points I would like for you to remember is that I tend to hide my sufferings, my pain sometimes, most of the time, because of my ego, my pride. I don't want to appear as being weak in my faith, so I don't share as much. But I found that it's important to share with others, the community, especially through prayer. You know, we have the cards here. And if you struggle with something in life, you need prayer, fill out the prayer card. Put it in the offering box. You don't even have to put your name on it. No one would know. We have the prayer group that meet every Sunday morning. They can pray over your requests. You don't have to call the secretary, but if you wish to call the secretary and be put in the prayer line, it's excellent. But this is a good method. I love that we're meeting on Sunday morning to pray. In Matthew 6:6, Jesus instructs us, tells us to find peace in the presence of the Father. In how to pray. This passage reads, but when you pray, go into the room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Not everyone has a special place, a room to pray. I don't. But you know what? I got to tell you, my special room is my mind. I can pray anywhere, at any time, in a split second. I can turn. That is my secret place. And I was reading this passage, and I thought, my brain is my secret place. I don't need to go into a closet. There's a movie, I think it's called The Prayer Room. It talks about in the war room, that's it. And she has her closet where she goes to pray. It's excellent. And I love that. For me, my brain, I can do it anywhere. Don't have to wait. Point number two that I like to make is that decisions should not be made by sight alone. When in the middle of a struggle, it is easy for the circumstances to dictate our choices. But Paul reminds us that when we see, it's not the full story, not the whole picture. Your struggles are real. There's no doubt. So don't make decisions based on what is on their mind of you. Make them in light of what Jesus Christ has done and what has promised to us. About a month and a half ago, we had Lorraine gave her testimony. And it spoke about losing a loved one. She was tempted to walk away from God. But instead, she relayed to us that she used that to worship God, to help others, because she's faithful to the core. And that was an awesome message that she gave us that Sunday. The third point that I would like to make, grab onto Jesus Christ, cling onto him. Paul did not just write about suffering. He lived through it. While in prison, he wrote about it. And through it all, he went to Jesus. That is our example when life gets overwhelming. Run to Jesus, our mediator. Like Keith spoke last week, our mediator. He bring your doubts, your fears, hold on to that hope that Jesus Christ gives us. He's our mediator to get to God. Into eternal life. So if you have struggles, get back to the center with Jesus Christ. In Jeremiah 31:25, I find this passage to be excellent reminder. And he reads, I will refresh the weary and satisfy the faint. This passage offers divine comfort, spiritual renewal, where God promises to restore and bring back the exiled people of Israel and Judah. I feel that it still has a connection with us at this time. This verse is the beacon of hope. Reminds us that God notices our struggles and will step in to restore what is depleted from us. Lean on to God's presence for renewal. A couple weeks ago, first week of July, we had the Vacation Bible School here. It was phenomenal. We had approximately 30 children, lots of volunteers, and as you most know, we have a little farm in Cross Village, and it was busy. We were getting prepared to have family, host family for the summer, and we're getting fixing things that broke down during the winter, and I was exhausted every day. And then we will come here at 5 p.m. and help the children. And I would tell my wife, I'm tired. I'm exhausted. She reminded me of Romans 8:18. And I said, you're right. You're right. Because planting the seed for those little children, God's children, is important. No matter what struggles we're dealing with, pain, suffering, or even being tired, doesn't compare. So she reminded me at that time the importance of sharing the gifts of salvation, especially with the little children. In Romans 5, 1 through 5, I'm almost done with my talk here. I have this, on Thursdays, I go to the Carrick's in the prison. I'm part of the ministry in the prison. And two of my brothers that we go up north. This Thursday, we were on our way up there. And the bridge, this is in the UP where we go to the prison. The bridge is backed up for miles of traffic, and we couldn't get there. So I told them, you know, I got this message I'm going to deliver this Sunday, and I want to share with my brothers in prison so I can practice it. And they go, hey, share it with us right now. And I said, you're going to hear it once I get there to prepare for it. Well, the bridge is backed up for miles and miles, and we decided we will never make it there. So on the way back, they go, all right, read the message to us now. And I did. My brothers are here with their spouses to support me. Jim has helped the church in Charlevoix, pastoring the church in Charlevoix for many years. And I'm encouraged by him all the time. I'm learning. They're great, great mentors for me. I appreciate you being here. So I decided to add this passage, Romans 5, 1 through 5, after sharing the message with them. It states, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in the tribulations, knowing that the tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us and is present among us. Would you please bow your heads and let's pray. This is my closing prayer. Father God, thank you for the provisions you have given us, the grace of salvation you have given us also. You know our needs, and you will provide our needs in your time. You have provided your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our mediator, our hope for eternal life. Heavenly Father, I'm grateful for the promises you have made for us and for providing your Son, Jesus Christ, the absolute perfect Lamb, to clean us from our sins. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to come to you as we are. We ask that you keep those traveling, going home this weekend. Keep them safe during their travels. Keep those in the water, sailing different parts of the world that we're here in Arbor Springs. Keep them safe as they travel home. In Jesus' almighty name, we all say, amen. Thank you.